welcome back to the Being Husband Podcast. I'm your host, Jonathan West, bringing you guys another episode here. And you all, like I always do, gents, thank you so much for being a part of the work that we're doing. Guys, if you've been with us for any length of time, then you know what we're all about here. We're here to help you as a man build a household that stands. And I do want to apologize for the delay on this episode. As I told you on my IG, if you follow us on Instagram at Being Husband Pod, I encourage you to do that at Being Husband Pod on Instagram, then you would know that today's episode is going to be related to entrepreneurship. It's going to be related to hyperinflation, which we're talking about that from a theoretical standpoint, because we're all experiencing some increase in prices right now, aren't we? Entrepreneurship, hyperinflation, and what you can do to show up as a provider in hard times economically, or bad times economically. And so I thank you so much for your patience as it relates to this. As you guys can imagine, with starting the new business, for those of you that don't know, I will be going full time on my venture, my side business where I was building gardens for people. I'll be going full time on that venture. I received some capital from a good friend of mine who just happens to be an investor, a VC, and we'll be off to the races here in the next couple of weeks. So I'm very, very excited for that. But as you can imagine, when scaling a business from hustle to business, it requires a lot of legwork. And maybe I could get into a little bit of that when we talk about this entrepreneurship piece. Before I do that, I want to thank so much one of our sponsors, my good friend, Coach Ross Hiller. I'm going to have him on the podcast here pretty soon. Coach Ross has a fantastic program called the Nomad Foundations Program. And it's all about the foundations for his fitness modality, his methodology and diet that goes along with it. I just got finished with the program, and I got to tell you guys, it is the best program that I've done, not only because it's well-crafted, but also because Coach Ross is with you the entire way, step-by-step, day-by-day. He's talking with you, making sure that you understand the program and you understand the diet. And I've seen significant results, ones that I wish I would have jumped on his programming a lot sooner, because I'd be a lot further along than I am today. So if you haven't yet found a fitness program, right, it's the third month, right? It's the end of the third month of the year. We're a quarter of the way through with the year. If you're looking to have a good, solid fitness program from a guy that is going to be with you every step of the way, Coach Ross Hiller is the guy for you. Follow him on Instagram at Coach Ross Hiller and join his Nomad Foundations program. Let him know that Jonathan sent you, and he will cut you a great, great discount. Okay, to the show. So you may be saying, Jonathan, well, listen, entrepreneurship, hyperinflation, none of that has to do with being a good, godly husband. You may be thinking that. You're probably not. If you're listening to the show at this point, if you've been with us for a length of time, then you're not thinking that. You're understanding that our role as husbands is to provide. And so in some respects, we have to talk about money. We have to talk about ways to get more of it. We have to talk about what money actually is. And we have to talk about what it's doing in our world, in our society. We have to, because we can't actually be good at providing if we don't have a conversation around the tool that we use to provide, right? And that is money, that is the dollar. So let's get into it. So, and this is going to be a super duper crash course, very, very simplistic. I encourage you all to research a lot of these terms that I'm going to be throwing out, to make sure that you understand. And it's not just, you know, you just saying, yeah, Jonathan told me to invest in Bitcoin, so I just did it. Do your own research. Don't listen to anything I say unless you have verified for yourself. By the way, that should go with anything. If I say something about scripture, go verify it. Go verify if it's in there. Go verify if it's in accordance with the word. If I say anything about being a husband, make sure that the Bible is clear that that is the right way to be thinking about things. And if it's not, throw it out, right? Some of the stuff that I talk about is my own opinion. It's not all from the Bible. right? And then some of the things that I talk about, a lot of the things I talk about are directly from the scripture. But I want you to understand, before I get on this mic every time, I'm always in prayer. Lord, help me to say what would be beneficial to the men that are listening. Lord, help me to be a man that is relatable to other husbands, relatable to other would-be husbands. I want you to understand that's, I may be shooting from the hip. I may be giving you some opinion. I may be laughing, cutting jokes and all of that. I take this opportunity to be here very seriously. I mean, perhaps it doesn't feel like that, but I do, because I know that God has entrusted me with friends, with now at this point about 700 friends that listen to this podcast. And I thank you. 700 that listen to the podcast and about 7,000 plus that listen to or that follow along on the Instagram page. And I don't take that for granted. So thank you for being here. But again, anything that I say, verify it. Verify it. You have to. So what I want to talk about is money, okay? And I want to talk about what our money in the U.S. is doing. So what I first want to set a framework for is, what is money? And all that money is an exchange of value, an exchange of time. Because the way that we get money, right, is we go down to our little deal, a little 9 to 5, or maybe some of us are entrepreneurs in the audience as well, and we've got a service business, whatever. But in some respects, we are using our time to gain a note, basically, that our time was valuable to someone. And then they paid us that note for our time. Does that make sense? So you go down to the workhouse, you do your little deal, your boss says, here's a check for $2,000 for your work. Thank you so much. And however many hours you put in and however many dollars you were paid is an agreement that you and the person that paid you have. Your time, however long that was, whether it was 10 hours, 5 hours, 1 hour, and that check or cash for $2,000, you all agreed that the service that you provided, the tasks that you did, would equate to that and the time that you spent on it. Okay? Does that make sense? That's all that money is. It is a promissory note. And then you take that money, okay, that you got from the labor that you did, you then take that money and you go and you buy what you need to live: food, shelter, clothing, etc. So that's all that money is. All the money is, it's an exchange of value, an exchange of energy, exchange of your time. Okay. Here's the deal. When we talk about words like inflation, or to a worse degree, hyperinflation, what we're talking about is, okay, you're in a situation where that $2,000, say, took you 10 hours to get. Okay. $2,000 took you 10 hours to get. That $2,000 used to be able to get you everything you needed to live and to enjoy your life, perhaps. Maybe it's a little excess. But now with inflation, because right now our inflation rate, I think, is roughly 7.9 to 8.3% increase. Which means that the things that you were buying before, each thing that you were buying before, is roughly 7 to 8% more than what it was just 2 months ago. Does that make sense? So your cost to live is 8% more than what it was, but your check that you get from your 9 to 5, in this example, we'll just use a 9 to 5, but the check that you get from your 9 to 5 has not increased 8% to accommodate for that. So basically, you're losing money just by focusing on that one 9 to 5 and having nothing to offset that 7 to 8% increase in prices. Does that make sense? So in order for you to catch up to that 7 to 8%, you're going to have to earn 7 to 8% more some kind of way, just to break even. That's not even really to have any excess. That's just to, and when I say break even, I mean to get to a place where everything is copacetic. You got your bills paid or whatever, and you're not struggling trying to like cut here and cut there and all of that. Okay. That's what inflation does. inflation increases your cost of living such that in order to make it up or to live the same way that you were prior to its increase, you're going to have to increase your bottom line, your income. Now, when I talk about hyperinflation, hyperinflation is not here yet, but it is ugly when it does hit. You can see this. I think one of the currencies that was really interesting for me to research during all of this was the, I believe it was in Venezuela. Yeah, it was the Venezuelan Bolivar. That was their currency. That was their government issued currency, which that's an interesting conversation with the definition of money, but we can talk about that another time, right? We can talk about the fact that, you know, why do we have a money that is only issued by the large government? Well, I mean, there's reasons for that, but we won't get into that today. So the Venezuelan Bolivar is a really good example. And what was happening there is that hyperinflation had set in. And hyperinflation is usually whenever the inflation rate is like 50%, right? So not 7 to 8%, which that's a squeeze. Like, I mean, we're feeling that right now, right? Who's filling up their gas tank saying, man, it's way more expensive than it used to be. You know, who's going to the grocery store, right? And you're getting your same cuts of meat, whatever you do. And, oh, wow, is it always $10 for ground beef? You know, things like that. Now, granted, that's premium ground beef that you're getting. I think the average for ground beef right now is like $7, something like that, $7-$8 for a pound. So it's not quite 10. I mean, unless you're getting like grass-fed, organic, which I enjoy, or bison or something like that. So, but my point is to say that all of us are feeling this 7 to 8% increase, but hyperinflation is worse than that. Hyperinflation is usually 50% increase month to month. And when it gets like that, that's when there's, you know, riots in the streets. That's when it really is costing you money to hold cash. Like, you really, as soon as you get paid, you really actually want to go spend that or invest that as quick as you can, because it's losing value just by you sitting there, right? It's losing half of its value by the end of the month, right? So your $2,000, if you hold it, right, is now $1,000 next month. So you really got to pay all your bills real quick and then see how you can go ahead and get some more. So that's ugly. And Lord willing, we don't come to that, but I have a sneaking suspicion that that could occur, but we'll see. Time will tell. So that's inflation, and then that's hyperinflation. So then you say, all right, Jonathan, well, that's happening. Inflation is happening. Things are going up in price. Well, okay, what do I do about that? My advice, and it's always been my advice, is you need a side hustle. You need one of two things. You either need to have a side hustle in addition to, and I'm talking specifically to the 9-to-5 guys. Maybe you entrepreneur guys could just put in more hours or increase your prices or something like that. But to the 9-to-5 guys, I'm saying you need to have a side hustle, or you need to go ahead and jump off the porch and start a business. Because when you're working in an environment where your income is fixed during a period of inflation, and Lord willing, I hope this never comes, hyperinflation, it is costing you money to be there because your income is fixed. Maybe you get a 1%. I mean, you know, raises usually happen only annually, right? But this inflation is happening every month. But raises only happen annually, and they're usually only like 2 to 5% at best. You know, people are not getting 10% raises unless they jump to another title, which usually takes years to get the track record to get that title. So it's a slow growth in a 9-to-5. And we're in a situation right now where if your strategy is slow growth and hoping that things get better, it's not really a strategy, right? Because the increase of living has consistently been 7 to 8% each month. It's expensive. Like, it is becoming expensive to live. Okay. And that doesn't matter what standard of living. If you're a guy that likes, you know, premium meats, or you're a guy that likes regular meats, whoever you are, you're feeling the increase of this price. You are feeling the increase somewhere. You just will. And so relying solely on one stream of income, and particularly from a 9-to-5 fixed income scenario, is not good. You're betting against yourself if you do that. And so my advice is to have a side hustle. My advice is to figure out a way in which you can increase your earnings. Figure out a way in which you can jump off the porch and not be capped, right? Your ceiling, your income ceiling, is based on your work, your output, how much you do. Because that's going to get you to a place, again, where you can show up as a provider for the household. Honey, listen, I know things are going up. I know it looks a little scary. We're going to be fine. I've got this. I've got two friends of mine that are going to be potential clients for me for this new thing that I'm going to be building. Or, hey, you know what, honey, I got some tools in the garage. I know some people in the neighborhood that need, you know, their plumbing fixed, or they need some drywall put in, whatever the thing is. I'm going to hit that up because I've got this small bit of skill set and I've got this small amount of money to put towards it. Okay. It doesn't have to be much. A lot of service things, blue collar stuff, you don't need much to start. And I'm going to share with you 5 different businesses you can start today for a little or nothing. But you don't need much. You just need effort. And so you can jump off the porch today and start you something. And by next month, have a client list of 5 people. You know, and that's, you know, that's kind of the story with the Suburban Farm Guy, which is the garden business that I started. That was the story, is that I had in 2020, when people thought that the end of the world was nigh, I had a friend of mine that wanted to grow a garden. So I came out to her property, her husband's property, got it squared away, and then they told people about it. And one client turned to 2, and 2 turned to 4. And 4 turned to 8. You see what I'm saying? And it kept growing. And so it got to a point in 2021 where I was doing 12 clients, right? Building gardens, designing gardens, and maintaining them. And did really well in 2021. And I got to a place where I was just like, I reached out to, like I said, my VC friend. And I just asked him, I said, man, what does it look like for you to come in on this deal with me so we can put gasoline on this fire and really accelerate and scale this? I got him all my financials, got all, you know, cash flow stuff, business model, whatever, everything he needed to see before he, you know, put money to it. And he looked at it. He said, this is great. Let's get it going. Right. And that's just one example. Right. And I didn't ask for, you know, a ton of capital to start it. But I asked for enough for me to take the risk and that my family would be okay. And we're off to the races here in the next couple of weeks. But I would not have gotten that deal. Well, this is what I'm trying to get you to. Because everybody's like, oh, Jonathan, you're just lucky. You got a deal. You got to understand, I would not have gotten that deal if I hadn't made it independently. Right. The Suburban Farm Guy, and I was only working Saturdays. And I'll share with you the numbers. The Suburban Farm Guy first year made $2,000. Okay. Not much, but not bad, right? $2,000 extra in a year. And I was only working Saturdays. Pretty good. The next year, we grossed $10,000 and netted $7,000. You see where I'm going with this? You see how this multiplied? Okay. So from really $0 in 2 years, I was able to increase my earnings, again, over 2 years, $12,000, and then netted, like I said, $7,000. But and I netted some from year one as well. So, and net just means, sorry, I'm throwing out all this language. gross is what you earn. Net is the profit that you get, right? That's the difference between your cost and then, so it's a difference between your cost and like what you actually brought home to the table. And so my point in saying all that is to say that when you start these things, when you start these side hustles, you never know where they're going to go. But if you start with the intention of service and you start with these service type of businesses, your cap, your money to start is really low, and your cap on earning, I mean, it's whatever you want it to be. You could take on as many clients or as little clients as you want, and that's going to determine your take home pay. That's the reality of it. And so I really advocate for guys to do some kind of service, and that doesn't have to be blue collar per se. I think the blue collar is just the easiest, especially if you're already in a neighborhood. You can get started tomorrow. I mean, there's another friend of mine in the neighborhood. Great guy. He started a cleaning business. He used to work in banking. He started a cleaning business back in 2020. Okay. Just, you know, cleaning people's houses, side hustle. Did it for 2 months, realized I can make more money if I scale, left his banking job, scaled the business, and now he's got 5 people working under him, and he works the whole neighborhood. 6-7 figure business. In 1.5 years, he went from zero, right? Didn't have any real money to start. He bought the basics, right? Like he bought some, you know, tile cleaner and some, you know, all-purpose cleaner and whatever, and started a cleaning business. And now he runs an operation with, you know, 5 people, himself included. And it's a 6-figure business. So the point that I'm making with all of this is that it doesn't take much. It just takes the effort and it takes the creativity. And really, the sky is the limit with where you want to go. And in a time like this, when we've got, you know, pressure from, you know, the gas pumps, right, with increasing that, the pressure from food, the pressure from, you know, what the heck's going on overseas, and what's our White House doing? Like there's so many different things that are putting us in a situation where we're like, we don't know what's going on, and it feels really scary to be able to come to your wife and to say, I've got a plan. The amount of peace that you give her, the amount of peace that you give your kids by showing up and really creating a new world for them. I mean, what a blessing it is to do that for them. And then what a blessing it is to receive honor from them for that. And so I really just want you to experience that, because it feels good. It really does. It's a blessing to be able to provide for your family, especially in hard times when everyone seems to be scared. And so what I want to share with you today really quick is 5 businesses you can start today. Things that you can do today. Because some of you guys say, Jonathan, that all sounds good, man, but what am I supposed to do? I don't know what I can do. I'm just going to give you ideas, because the reality is I don't know what you can do. I don't know what your area needs. I don't know what your skill set is. I don't know. It is up to you really to evaluate where your skill set meets needs in your area and then exploit that. Exploit that, right? What my area, see, nobody cleans in my area. I'm a good cleaner. Start a cleaning business. A lot of pools in my area. I know how to clean a pool. Start a pool cleaning business. Simple as that. So that's actually one of the ones. So a pool cleaning business roughly is going to cost you about $100 to start. All you need is the cleaner. I think you need one of those little fishnet things or whatever. And really just going around to your neighborhood or to your local neighborhood where you know the pools are at and say, hey, you know, my name, and really optimizing search online. So I would advise you, there's 2 ways you can go about this. When it comes to local businesses, it's really important for people to know you, right? So you need to be out in the public in some way. So I don't think door to door necessarily is the right way, but I do think that if you can land one client in a neighborhood, make yourself visible in that neighborhood, start conversations with people, and, you know, just assess what their needs are. And if you start conversations with people and they're like, well, yeah, I actually do pool cleaning for your neighbor. And you're like, oh, really? I got a pool that needs clean. See how I'm going with this? And you become a part of that community, right? Oh, that's John. He cleans pools, right? He's cleaned her pool, and now next week he's coming to clean mine. You see what I'm saying? And so once you get that ball rolling locally, right, where you have one client in a community and you just make yourself visible and known, and you take your time, you do it right, the word is going to get out about your business. And like I said, that's $100 to start. That's not even a lot of capital to get going. So yeah, roughly about $100 to start a pool cleaning business. The second idea that I had was a farm fresh produce delivery service. Cost of that is really zero. I'm going to tell you why. So when I say farm fresh produce delivery service, what I have in mind is, you think about all the people that want organic, they want grass fed, right? And let's say you live in an area that has a really great farmer's market or a really, really great farms around that area. What you can do is you can go to people that you know and you say, hey, I know that you like this stuff and I know that you want to farm fresh, but isn't it a hassle to have to go down to the farmer's market every Saturday? And they say, yeah, you know, it really is. I'd really like to have it delivered to my door, right? And typically this is going to be, and I'm going to be honest, this is typically going to be the mindset or the problem or the opportunity, I should say, in affluent communities, right? Because people that have a lot of resources, that are well off financially, generally are socialites. So they're busy doing a lot of their social gatherings and stuff like that. And generally they're hard workers. And so they really don't have, they've got time for leisure, but it's very select. Their leisure usually has some kind of return on investment unless they're on vacation, right? But their Saturdays, their Sundays, leisure has some kind of purpose, business related, usually. Okay. So those folks, if they do go to the farmer's market, it's a rare occasion, right? And they would much prefer to have that stuff delivered to them. So what you can do is you can reach out to these folks if you know anybody, right? Just one person. Again, it all starts with one client, and then that one client talks to another. And you just say, hey, what would it look like for, you know, me to deliver that stuff to you? You say, oh, that'd be great. That'd be awesome. Great. Here's how much I can do it for, right? And what you want to do with this is you want to price yourself. You want to price yourself well, because it's going to take a little bit of work. You're basically going to the farmer's market and shopping for them, right? Or even and then getting to a point where you have relationships with the farmers, and then you're getting it sooner to them if you can. If they want it on a Tuesday, you can get it to them on a Tuesday, right? So you want to kind of work this in to your pricing, because that's an expensive, in terms of time and labor, that's an expensive venture. So you want to pay yourself for that. Okay. And folks that are relatively affluent have no problem paying for good service. They have no issue with that. Makes their life easier. He's a great personality. Sure, I'll pay whatever money it is that allows me to have this convenience and a great experience. And that's what you do. So you go through and you do that for that one client. She then refers you to another six, right? Her book club, right? And then, you know, their husbands are investing in it because it saves their wives time, and the wife has more time for, you know, enjoying herself and relaxing, and on down the line that word of mouth goes. And pretty soon what you can do there, this is the great part about it, is that you build up basically a catalog of what customers usually buy from farms. So you'll build up a catalog of people like duck eggs instead of chicken eggs, people like ground bison instead of ground beef, et cetera, right? You build up an entire catalog, and that catalog now is the value, right? If you want to go sell this business later down the road, or if you decide that I'm going to take the money that I've earned and I'm going to invest in leasing land, and I'm going to raise some of these same animals and I'm going to sell directly to my current client base and still offer the delivery service. See what I'm saying? And you've what you've done over time is that you've built a real business, all because you asked one lady, one wife, right, in a neighborhood, does she want you to deliver farm fresh food to her? And that was with $0. All it really took was your car, a little ingenuity, and doing the work. And there you go. Made your first $100 or however much you charge for delivery, whatever it is. So consider that. That's a really good one. I would do that. if I was doing this, I would do that. Next one, landscape design, garden consulting. It's the same thing that I do right now. There are a lot, and even if you don't go with the niche of people that want to grow their own food and you just go with general landscape design, there's so much work to be done. So many people want beautiful landscapes and they don't want to have to sweat and toil and till to get it figured out. And you could actually get to a place where you know people that do the edging, right? The concrete or stone or brick edging, right? You can contract that out. And you know people that do really good with shrubs and herbs and you can contract that out. And you really exist as the designer, you could say, and you charge people a premium for the design and the collaboration. And people would love that because people, especially when you get into, again, folks that don't have a lot of time to do the labor because they're busy doing what they do best, which is, you know, building businesses, building rapport, that type of thing. When you get into that market, those folks, they love to have their lives made easier and they love to work with people that are good at doing that and that are good at making their lives also I would say like more beautiful, right? In some way, especially when it comes to this landscape design thing. And so if you can market yourself in that way, you know, that's another great one, right? And you can get to a place. I mean, really cost to start that is like 75. All you really need is some tools, shovel, a rake, wheelbarrow for soil and stuff like that. And you can really be off to the races there. You can start that tomorrow. Another one, local handyman. I mentioned it before, right? You get to a place where you're pretty skilled at, you know, fixing things. Contract yourself out, right? Contract yourself out with your next door neighbor that needs something. And then say, hey, you know, I'll give you a discount on the service if you tell somebody about my thing. And then they tell somebody about your local handyman service. And then on and on and on down the line. See, I'm giving you all these service business ideas because I think that there's a lot of times where you'll try to overthink it. You're like, well, maybe I need to make the next iPhone, right? Because that's a real business. Real businesses, and I want to be clear. If you want a real business, add value to whoever your client or customer is. That's it. Add value. You don't need to create the new iPhone, right? You don't need to figure out this new Fandangle thing. All you need to do is add value. And that could be picking up trash and charging a premium for picking up trash. That could be mowing somebody's lawn and charging a premium for mowing somebody's lawn. That could be pressure washing a house and charging a premium for pressure washing somebody's house. All you're doing is solving people's problems and then charging them to solve it. That's it. That's all it ever is. You don't need to be on Shark Tank. You don't need to reinvent the wheel. You just need to do work that people find valuable and that are willing to pay you for. That's it. That's it. The fifth one, and we talked about this already, but was the home cleaning business. Like I said, my guy in my neighborhood, he started it. He started it with, you know, you could call it somewhere between zero and $30, right, for material, jumped off the porch and has a six-figure business in less than a year. Year and a half. Well, I say less than a year. It was probably like year and a half when it got to six figures. But I mean, he was making money before then. I mean, whether it wasn't, maybe it wasn't six figures, but is 70K okay with you? Right? Is 70K all right? 75K okay? Right?
But now it's six figures. And I mean, he's doing great. He's doing fantastic. And so, like I said, inflation doesn't have to be a problem. And inflation really, I'm going to be honest, is no excuse for you to not show up and provide for your family. Because there's so much opportunity. There's never been a better time ever in history to start a business. And I didn't even get into, and maybe we'll talk about this on another podcast, I didn't even get into online businesses. I mean, we've got people on Etsy making custom knives and are, you know, six-figure businesses, and they're working from home. Women doing embroidery, six-figure business, working from home. I mean, when it comes to the online stuff, the opportunity there is that you're not just limited to the people that live around you. You can sell to the whole world, anyone that's online. I didn't even get into that. I mean, that's probably another episode there, but you see where I'm going with this. God has given us the opportunity to work with our hands, work with our minds, and to increase the talent that he gave each one of us. Do you guys remember the parable of the talents? You remember one man was given 10, one man was given 5, and the other one was given 1. So the one that was given 1, he buried his. The master comes back and the master says, well, you know, he gave the guy who multiplied. So the guy that had 10, he multiplied his to 20. The guy that had 5 multiplied his to 10. And the guy that had 1, he just buried his. So the master came back. He said, you didn't even put it in the bank? Because talents is money in this parable. You're wicked. You're wicked. Think about that. The master called him wicked for not multiplying the one gift that he had. And you know what the guy's excuse was? It's unfair. You didn't give me enough. It's unfair. They got 10. He got 5. Only got 1. That's unfair. And that's the reality of life, is that God has given each of us different things, different proportions of things. Some of you that are listening right now may be really good at architecture. Some of you listening right now are really good at sales. Some of you really good right now are good at, you know, structures, whatever the thing is, right? Myriad of different talents, skills, and abilities here. But we have to be careful to not look at the other person, right, during this economic, you know, bad economy, and then become jealous and say, well, why didn't I get that? Why didn't I get that opportunity? Why didn't God give me that? And ask yourself instead, what has God given me to multiply? Because that's what the parable is about. The master is God, and the workers are us. And do we want to get in this time and through this time and have God say, we acted wickedly, we acted ungratefully, and we did not use what he had given us to provide for our families? I don't want that to be me. I don't want to get through this time period, and whenever my time is come, and I'm on the judgment, you know, God is on the judgment seat, and I'm sitting there, you know what I'm saying, you know, standing there with hands in my pockets, you know, he's going over my life and all this. I want to get to the end of the road and God say, you did good. You did good with what I gave you. Maybe I didn't give you a Silicon Valley idea. Maybe I didn't give you, you know, a fortune from your family to inherit and then do something with. But I gave you what I gave you. And I asked you to act faithfully, and you did. Well done. This is the kind of man you want to be. Not like me. Okay, don't misunderstand me. You want to be the kind of man that makes do with what he has and multiplies it for the glory of God, to the glory of God, and the benefit of your family. That's what's required of you. And if you're not doing that right now, I'm, as a brother, you're acting wickedly. That's based on God's standard, not mine. So I encourage you, right, during this tough time economically, if you were able-bodied, find a way to make your talents make talents. Multiply them in some way. Again, to the glory of God, for the benefit of your family. These times don't have to be hard for you. Let me be clear. Maybe they will be hard, but they don't have to be dismal. Because our joy is never in money anyway. Our joy is in the Lord. Our joy was never in going back to normal. Our joy should have always been in the Lord. Our joy was never that things would work out exactly how we wanted them to, but our joy has always been in the Lord. And you know how we exercise that joy and we show the world where our hope is? We work in faith and not in fear. We work because God works, not because we're scared of what they're going to do to us if we don't. That's the kind of man you are and you've been called to be. And so all I'm doing as a brother is I'm trying to remind you of what God has done for you in your life and who he's made you to be, what his plan is for you. And maybe some of you that aren't saved, I encourage you during this time, if you listen to this podcast and you're not saved yet, I encourage you to figure that thing out and receive the strength. Receive truth and blessing from God and exercise the ability that he's given you, because God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and self-discipline. This is our inheritance as Christians. Let's go forth. Let's have dominion. Let's conquer. Let's make it through this time. And so that when people see our good works, they would look to the Father and give him glory. And it's with that, gentlemen. Hope that you found value out of this episode. I really do. I apologize for the delay. Business stuff has been crazy. I'm actually contemplating rolling the podcast into the whole Suburban Farm Guy brand, changing the name of this podcast to the Suburban Farm Guy podcast, and talking about, still talking about husbandhood, still talking about fatherhood, but opening up the doors to talk about entrepreneurship, to talk about gardening stuff, to talk about preparedness. There's a lot of different things that I think by switching the title and focusing my attention on the Suburban Farm Guy that I think will be a huge benefit to you, as well as a benefit to me. And so let me know what you think about that. Send me an email, beinghusbandpodcast@gmail.com. I'm sorry, beinghusbandpod@gmail.com. That's beinghusbandpod@gmail.com. Send me an email there. Let me know what you think. I'm going to take a poll on Instagram today. I'm recording this today. It should be released today as well. And I appreciate you all, seriously, for tuning in, for taking the time to talk with me. And I look forward to working with you in whatever capacity that is, because I've got to figure out how to bring my work that I do out there to this conversation. And so I need your help with that. So let's talk it through. Let's see how it goes, and we'll go from there. It's with always a glad heart that I say to you, gentlemen, take care. Build on.